Discovery's four computers now have primary control of critical vehicle functions.
3, 2, 1, 0, 0, 0.
Hello, world, and welcome to another exciting episode of the Gadget Cast. My name is Gregory McFadden, joined always by my co-host Travis MCP.
Space travel, baby. I hope everyone's space doing travel. Well. There it was. I was waiting for it. Why'd you turn it down and then up? You're messing this up.
You know, I was like, do we keep the space travel going? It's kind of long, and like, I didn't do it. But I saw so many people in the chat just writing space travel. So at the end, I just went whoop and let it back up. So I didn't want to disappoint the fans. Like,
you need to figure out your patter to the point where you stop. It gives a half breath. It says space travel, and then I come in. Like, we need to get that timing down.
Yeah. Maybe I need to make the intro, you know, like a couple seconds shorter so we can get to the space travel faster. We need a sped up version.
A super edit.
It's like a 30-second intro. So, you know, if you're listening on the audio, maybe. But it's a podcast. You hit the 15-second skip button twice. You're into our voices already. But, I saw the love for space travel in the chat, so I can never get rid of it now. Like, I thought that was just a me and you thing. And now, look at the chat. It's all space travel. It's all space
it
travel.
Is.
People love space travel.
They love space travel, baby. Listen, it is what it is. Willie Doo gave us a gem. We appreciate Willie Doo.
As a person once said, it is what it is.
It is. What grandiose, intelligent person said that once upon again?
I think his name was Travis.
Either that or Willie Doo.
Yeah, I think Willie Doo one time, you know, Lou was getting really into it. You know, he was like, you know, Apple's ripping us off with these iPhones and you should buy a $200 Poco phone. And then Willie Doo just calmed him down. He looked directly into the camera and he said, Lou, it is what it is.
And
the show just ended and they never came back on. I don't know what happened to Unbox Therapy. I think Lou is just, you know, I think he kind of became like a nomad and he's just, you know, traveling the world.
A lot of assumptions there.
There's a lot of assumptions there.
Jose's asked, who made the intro? Well, Gregory did, ladies and gentlemen. I helped a little bit, but only with one little part, but it's pretty great. It's pretty
Travis,
great.
Travis added the finishing touches. You know, I was like the sous chef making the intro. Travis, you know, he's the master chef. He walks in, he's like, hold on. Gets the spice, sprinkles it over, and is perfection.
I salt bait it. I
did the salt bait. He basically salt bait the intro, and it made it perfect. It made it perfect.
Oh, my God. Okay. Thank goodness that most podcasts don't have to worry about retention. Okay, so let's get into today's show.
Yeah.
If you don't like us, do you want to hear about tech, fine. Talk about
Hold
tech.
Hold on. Before we get into the show, I know. We got some exciting tech topics. Don't worry about it. I do have some follow-up I want to do with Travis about something. We do have, you know, we're going to talk about the foldable iPhone. John Prosser says it's real. Mm-hmm. And you know John Prosser. He's got the receipts. We got some iPhone release dates again. This Apple One service, the one bundle to rule them all, as I said in my video. We're going to talk about all that stuff. But Travis, I noticed someone, well, you kind of sent it to me on Twitter. Some other person in the podcast realm reached out to you and said, we should be friends, Travis. I think we're like neighbors. Like maybe he's like next door kind of neighborish. Like we don't know.
Yeah, I started thinking, was it when I was walking around with a phone and obviously doing a phone review that maybe someone noticed? I don't think that's what he meant. I hope he meant that he noticed that I'm from Seattle and he saw that. Because otherwise, it's kind of, I think you had a comment in one of your videos. Someone was like, I think you're a neighbor of mine or something. Didn't that happen one time?
That did happen. And I got scared and nothing ever came of it. And like, yeah, I showed some like pictures in the video and it goes, looks like we're neighbors. And I'm like, whoa, hey.
That's a little awkward. Right. Yeah. I don't know what that means. And I didn't know who the guy was. I remember hearing the name Cultcast or whatever. Yeah. So I asked Greg. I'm like, I remember hearing you talk something about this. Do you know who this person is? And he's like, yeah. So
yeah, I listened to the Cultcast. That's Erfan Elijah. He is the host of the Cultcast. And the people here might know Cultcast because they actually did an episode with John Prosser. They stole him. They poached him from us. They did an episode with John. And they talk about Prosser all the time. Like, it's funny to listen to them speculate, because when John wasn't doing his show for a while, they were just like, I hope he's okay. I hope he's doing okay. Like, we haven't heard from him in a long time. So it's funny because, you know, obviously me and you can reach out to John sometimes and get an answer. But it's funny to hear other people speculate, like, where is he? Where is he? But he follows you now. I don't know if Erfan listens to GadgetCast. But maybe if he does, maybe we got to have him on or something, and then we can discover just how, you know, was he looking out with the binoculars? Was he seeing you doing your phone review, or did he just like watch a video and realize, oh, Travis in the Washington area, and you know, what's neighbors? You know, maybe he's on one side of the state, you're on the other side. It's a big state. So maybe that's it.
Could be. That would be a scary proposition, you know, to do as
Erfan,
a neighbor.
Erfan, if you're listening to us, I think, you know, don't communicate with us on Twitter. Just talk about it in your next podcast. I'll listen to that, and then I'll know. Like, we'll communicate by talking past each other through podcast form. That's the ultimate way to communicate. So I'm going to wait. They released their episode. Free Cultcast plug. They released their episodes on Friday. So I'm going to have to wait till Friday. And we're gonna get the relay of this communication going.
Well, we'll get the negotiations done in the next 6 months, because it's gonna take us a little back and forth, but we'll figure it out.
Yeah, no DMs, no tweets, no calling, no messaging. You know, we're gonna talk about it podcast, because we're podcasters. Listen, this is anticipation. This is you got to keep the people coming back for more. People are gonna want to hear the story. It's gonna boost both of our audiences, I think.
100%. Simpsons art style always bring out a laugh when an episode comes out. Yeah, that's cool, man. I'm up for it.
They're like us, but funnier. So they're better than us, I think.
All right, so lots of things covered today. I think the first thing we should go over is what John Prosser said about the folding iPhone, which has been kind of a thing out there, but some more definitive information from John and from others saying that a folding iPhone's coming. I made actually a video about this just yesterday, and you know, I have thoughts on it. Like, it doesn't sound like you get almost excited when Apple creates a new product. But I also get kind of concerned that the way it's being described doesn't sound exactly cutting edge. But we also know when Apple comes out with something, it's usually a refined version of something that already exists. They let everyone else do the bleeding edge and then they kind of refine it. But I don't want them to refine the wrong version of this. So in other words, I don't want them to refine the Microsoft Duo version. I want them to refine the Galaxy Fold version of a, quote, folding phone, because the Duo is just dual screen, and maybe there's something to that. I don't know. Maybe there is something to that, but I feel like an actual folding phone is more compelling. What do you think?
Yeah, when you look at the Surface Duo and you look at the Galaxy Fold 2, it looks pretty obvious that the Galaxy Fold 2 is the ultimate solution to this. The Surface Duo looks like something you would release before you get to the Fold 2, and the Fold 2 wasn't exactly working. I have a lot of confidence that the Fold 2 will work based on their experience with this folding technology now. They've done it for a while. They learned their mistakes from the Fold 1. They had the Z Flip out on the market. So I'm guessing that this Fold 2 is going to be a way better experience than the first one. And it just looks like the correct way to do it. You know, regular phone size screen on the outside, you open it, it's a big, you know, tablet or a bigger screen for you. And it's one continuous screen. There's no split down the middle, no interruptions there. I was listening to John or watching John's video on this, and he said like it's using some sort of fabric that actually makes it look like one continuous screen. It was very interesting how he was describing that. He was very clear to say that it wasn't exactly like the Surface Duo where there's this black line right down the center that's very obvious to see. I think LG does something similar. They kind of put two phones in a case and it's two different screens. It's very obvious to see that. Maybe this fabric somehow simulates what like a screen would look like, and I don't know, them using fabric or something like that. I also thought like, okay, let's say you are making a folding phone with two different screens. Is there a way to engineer that so there's no bezel in the middle? Like, could you just have both pieces of glass like meet simultaneously in the middle and then create a continuous surface? I don't know. It sounds like a hard engineering challenge, but if anyone's going to do it, it's one of these giant corporations with all this money. That could be a really good experience, because even though I think that Samsung's on the right track with these folding phones, there's still the negative of having those plastic type screens. And even though maybe they're more durable than we think, it still doesn't feel as good as touching glass. You know, it still doesn't feel as good as touching a glass surface. It feels better to touch like your iPhone or your Note or whatever than it is even on the Z Flip. And I'm guessing the Fold, because it's like the same type of material. So I don't know. Like, clearly this is a prototype. Who knows? They might never release a folding phone. Apple has, as Rene Ritchie would say, they've tested everything out that's already on the market. They're the ones who are going to decide, is this something worthwhile to pursue? And, you know, maybe this glass one, maybe they test it. Maybe that's not the right one and they don't go with it. Maybe they just go the Samsung route. Do a foldable that's just one screen. Who knows? But I'm with you. If it's like the Surface Duo, I think that's the wrong path.
Yeah, we'll have to see. And the other thing is, don't get too excited about this. There's two real possibilities behind this. Number one, it's possible we'll never see this, at least not in the form in which they're playing with it. And if we even do, it won't be anytime soon. Because, again, Apple's not going to throw something out that even is a little bit suspect. They're going to wait. And if that means coming out 2 years after foldables are almost a common thing, then so be it. Like, Apple is about coming out with something that's refined, that works pretty darn good. Do they knock it out of the park every single time? No. But for the most part, they do a pretty good job. So I suspect if we see something like this, it's not anytime soon. So, you know, calm your booty, you know, settle down.
Yeah. And this is, like you said, this is par of the course for Apple. You know, they weren't the first ones out there with a smartphone that had like a physical keyboard and stuff. Like, this is like the early technology stuff that they'll be like, let's sit back. Let's see what Samsung does. Let's see what Microsoft does. Is there a better way to do this? Is there a reason for us to be in this market? The Apple products that are usually the worst are the Me Too products that they really shouldn't be doing. Like, look at the HomePod. That's clearly something that Amazon was way ahead of, and Apple kind of came out and went, we need one of these smart speakers too. And, you know, the HomePod wasn't a great success. Apple's at its best when they look at the smartphone market and they go, there's a better way to do this. They look at the smartwatch market and they go, we think there's a better way to do this. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if we don't see this folding, you know, iPhone. I want them to make this, by the way. I think iPhone into iPad would be the best, just by software alone, it would be the best. And then, you know, hopefully it's good. I don't know. We'll see. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things to overcome. Obviously, by the time it comes out, it'll be 5G. So there's that.
Might be 6G. Might be, you know, we might be on the 6G.
27G. Let's just jump through
everything. What's after 5G? You know, we had 4G LTE. Is it like 5G, you know, super...
Element OP?
Super Element OP. Powered by Verizon.
5G MKBHD?
Maybe. Hey, you know, I think, you know... You know, they keep making resolution names. You know, to honor MKBHD one day, they should just call the resolution MKBHD. You know, this is MKBHD, and it's like 40K.
Mm.
What do you think about that?
Yeah, I don't think that's a good idea at all. But I think it is.
What if they named it the Travis MCP? Is that a good idea?
There you go. That's fine. I'm okay with 5G MCP. That's fine. We can do that. Totally fine.
You know, Verizon, you have your people call my people. Maybe we'll let you sponsor a show sometime.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
Think about it.
It's amazing.
Depends on how many zeros there are at the end of it. If there's at least one, then probably.
Yeah, we need to see at least one solid zero.
At least one zero,
and we might do a sponsorship.
Yeah, but there has to be a number in front of it. Let's not get silly about it.
Right. You can't just put zero on it. You can't put 05. It's got to be like... 10. That's good.
At least 10.
10 is good. If you want, you know, 20, even better.
Hey, now we can talk some business there. You want to buy a percentage of GadgetCast? 30 at least, minimal. I mean, at least. Yeah,
that's like a 50% stake.
Exactly. We're gonna go onto what is it? Shark Tank and offer 50% stank. Stank. We're gonna offer 50% of a stank.
I think Mr. Wonderful is going to like us. You know, I'm a Mr. Wonderful guy. I want him sponsoring. You know, I want him plopping his money down.
Mm. All right. Well, anyway, off to another subject that came up this week. And you actually had a very successful video on which I was going to release yesterday, but instead going to release my video about this on Tuesday. The iPhone 12 release date and kind of, some, of course, the pricing's already been known, but the release date has been kind of leaked there by good old John Prosser. So we know a little bit about not only the potential release dates, or maybe not the specific release date, but a release window. We also kind of know the release window of the actual event, which is kind of exciting. What do you think about all this? What's your take?
Yeah, so we kind of talked about this a little bit last week, but we can talk about it more in detail now. You know, before we talk about iPhone stuff, I just want to I just think it's really interesting that John's saying that, you know, they obviously have other products that they have to release. There's a lot of products coming out. I think Luke Miani tweeted today, like, there's like four different iPhone models coming out. There's an iPad, an Apple Watch, Apple Silicon Max. Like, there's a lot of stuff that still has to be released. Those Apple headphones are still rumored to be coming out this year. So they got a lot to clear off their plate. Now, John said, actually, to start this all off with, he's saying that they're going to release the Apple Watch and iPad in a press release sometime in September. He's saying week 37, September 7th, which is interesting. The fact that they might release the Apple Watch ahead of the iPhone because the iPhone is so delayed, I feel like that's going to be an interesting experiment to see like how shaking up that Apple Watch release cycle, which is usually tied to the iPhone. Can they actually like sell Apple Watches like just like that? I don't know. It's going to be interesting to tie it away from the iPhone. And I'm hoping for like a nice Apple Watch update this year. I don't know if we're still going to get one. I thought like the 5 was such like a minor update that I'm like the 6 is going to blow us away. Like when they released the 5 last year. And then it's like, you don't really hear too many Apple Watch rumors, which usually means like maybe there's not like a huge thing. Oh, Will, hold on. Will in the chat says Luke Miani was mentioned on Lou Later yesterday or the day before. Oh, boy. Oh, you're muted.
How come Luke hasn't tweeted that? You would think that'd be one of the first things
he would
tweet.
Maybe he doesn't know. Maybe he doesn't know. He might not watch. You know, I feel like Luke might not watch Unbox Therapy. I'm just going
to
say it.
I mean, at this point, he needs to go back and look because that's a pretty big deal. I'm kind of interested to see what was said there. Did he call him Miami, though? Because that's really...
He might have. Yeah. He might have just did... Luke Miami, and then that's Willie do Luke Miami, and he's like, yeah, that's what mm-hmm. happened.
Yep.
But no, and then that iPad also that you're pretty interested in, which is rumored to look kind of like an iPad Pro, maybe, you know, worse camera kind of stuff, but other than that, have like the more bezel-less look. So what do you think about that first, like them releasing those products first via press release?
Yeah, I actually don't have a problem with it because I think while they'll sell well and they'll do well or whatever, they're not like the big thing that you need to have an event for. If you can cram all those things together in an event, that's fine. But I think maybe Apple is considering that the iPhone event might be really big and long because there's so many versions of the phone. I don't know if that really makes a difference or not, but they're selling so many different versions of it, different sizes, that maybe they just don't want to take any shine away from it. It seems to me, though, that they would pair the Apple Watch with the phone. I can understand maybe not doing the iPad and the phone at the same time, but it totally, totally would seem like you would pair the phone and the... Because they've done that previously, right? Doesn't usually the watch and
it's
the phone...
Yeah, almost every time it's the watch and phone same time.
So that would be interesting. However, this year's been different as they have press released several products without any kind of, you know, fanfare. So anything is possible this year. Totally anything is possible. I really believe that it makes more sense to pair those, but there must be a reason why they're not. And if that's the case, then those are products you could probably safely do that with. But I wonder, when I look at it from a standpoint of like the iPad, there's so many interesting things that this redesign would allow people to have, depending on if this is the replacement for the Air or the base, which we're guessing it's going to be a replacement for the Air. I'm actually really interested in this one, especially if it's around the $499 mark. But ultimately, the watch, I feel like, would need a bigger stage. So I'm a little perplexed by this. Apple is doing weird stuff in 2020.
I saw like other people say like, and on like a couple other shows, I forget where, that they might be doing this to like, because like the fiscal quarters and stuff like that, like they just want to release those products to make it look not as bad, because it'll be like a bad quarter without the iPhone there. And you know, how people are. Even though the iPhone's like the next month, people will be like, oh my God, Apple is doomed. Look how much revenue they lost. So maybe they're doing something like that. So it's a weird release schedule. Everything's thrown out of whack. Like, it's, if this is the year that things are going to be wacky, I guess it's like pretty explainable.
I'd be happy if someone would just flush 2020 down the toilet. I'd be totally okay with that.
I mean, 2020 has been like the worst year / the best year for me. So I don't know. I'm still mixed on 2020. It might be able to redeem itself somehow. I don't know.
There are a couple of months left. For me, I need to see some big turnarounds before.
Yeah. If Travis wins, like, you know, if like $20 million shows up on his doorstep, you know, it might be the best year ever.
That might do it. I don't know.
That's still a mite for you. It's like,
with my luck, it'd probably have Corona all over it, so I wouldn't be able to touch it.
You would win $20 million, and then like you'd be like waiting for the package, and it'd be like train derailment, contaminated. it would be hazardous material and train derailment.
That actually, for those of you who don't know, and the podcasters I don't think know, that was an actual delay. Reason for a delay of one of my UPS packages, that a train was derailed, which just is like, what?
I think the scarier one still is the first time you got the package delayed. It said hazardous material.
Yeah.
Like, that's why. It's like, what?
And I thought we were never going to get it. The headphones.
Yeah, the GadgetCast headphones. That's right.
And I thought we were never going to get them, but now we have them. And two of our lucky listeners have them as well.
And so they better be listening to GadgetCast exclusively with those headphones. Otherwise, send them back and we'll send them.
That's right. Well, spray them first, because I don't know where you've been.
Yeah, use a Lysol wipe if you have one. But anyway, iPhone 12, that's the big stuff. That's what everyone cares about. John Prosser, again, for those release dates, he's saying week 42, which is October 12th. He doesn't say if it's exactly going to be on October 12th, which I think is like Columbus Day, so it's probably not going to happen then. Probably like that Tuesday. I think that's the Monday, so probably Tuesday of that week. That's for the iPhone event. So Tuesday for the iPhone 12 event, and then the iPhone 12 pre-orders will be the same week, October 12th. Again, that's going to probably be that Friday. What is it? Like 8 a.m. Eastern time now for pre-orders. And then they're going to ship out the next week, October 19th week. And then the iPhone 12 Pro is delayed. Well, not really delayed. It's just shipping in November sometime. And John doesn't have an exact date yet. So pre-order for 12 Pro in November. So you're not going to be able to order the Pros right away.
That's interesting. I talk about this in the video coming up. I'm still unsure why that is. Like, I don't understand what the separation is there, other than we do kind of know that the Pros are supposed to get the better OLEDs. So maybe it's a matter of something to do with that. Like, maybe the OLED production schedule is behind or something because it's the better quality. I don't know. I don't think I've ever heard why that is. And then a lot of people talking in the chat about 120 hertz, which I would not hold your breath for it. Just imagine that you're not going to get 120 hertz. And then if you get it, cool. I mean, cool. I still don't understand why that would be a hurdle they can't overcome. It's not like there's not a lot of phones out there with 90, 120, and even 144 hertz screens. Like, I don't understand what the problem is.
I don't know why, and who know, maybe we'll get 120 hertz. Who knows at this point? 120 hertz for Apple, it could have something to do with the quality of the display. They like having it like super color accurate, all that stuff. Could be something to do with battery life, right? Like, does the Note 20, can you still do like the max resolution and max 120 hertz, or do they still limit it to 1080p?
The Note is still, the lower red, but it's not because they can't. I don't know why that is, because the OnePlus 8 Pro does it at full resolution. So it's not like it's a technical impossibility.
Is the battery on that good though? Like,
well, I saw that? Technically T say that he switched between like 120 hertz and off, and he said the battery life was substantially better without it, which makes sense, I guess. But you know, like, you look at what they said was they were going to do with that adaptive refresh rates. You would think it would be a better, less drain, but it is what it is. I don't know.
People in chat are saying the display quality was really bad with 120. So maybe.
But what does that even mean? I don't know what that even means. Oh, and then the iPad Pro thing. So We were talking about that the new iPad would probably be a refresh of maybe the Air. But if you may remember at the early part of the year that John Prosser said that a 5G version, was it a 5G version or LTE version of the iPad Pro was coming, which would have the like A14X processor in it, which would be frustrating for me because I don't necessarily need.
I don't know why Apple can't get 120 hertz working. I'm sure they can get it working, whatever. They're facing some sort of hurdle where they think it's better to ship it without it. I think it's only a matter of time before it does make its way to an iPhone. Like, they have it on the iPads. It's not like they're against it from a philosophical standpoint of, like, we don't like high refresh. Like, they did it pretty early with the iPad before other people were doing it. So I think they want to get it on there. Maybe they can't get it done this year. But, you know, in a way, I think that's actually, and maybe this is unintentional or intentional, I think that's smarter for Apple to do from a marketing standpoint only, because they're going to come out with a redesigned phone. People just like getting a redesign anyway for iPhones, right? Like, they like to buy the new looking one. And then next year you come out with 120 hertz. You get those same people that bought the redesign going, ooh, maybe I need the new one because it has the, you know, you save like those features and kind of leak them out. But I'm sure it's like a genuine reason why they can't get it to work. But in another way, it kind of helps them because phones every year, they have less and less new features to attract new customers. So if you already have a redesign coming, and we know Apple's only doing those like every 3 years now, that's incentive enough for a lot of people to just get the new phone because they want the new phone that looks different. I don't know. I would rather have the 120 hertz. It's not a deal breaker for me still. I see like some people going, oh, it's a deal breaker. I can't use a phone with 60 hertz. Man, like, it's nice. But, you know, I quickly forget about it if I don't have it.
And iPhones right now are actually really smooth. It's like the animations trick me into thinking that they're better than 60.
Yes, yes.
You know, every time I'm moving through it, I'm like, this is really, it feels smoother than 60. So I don't know if that's just some type of optimization Apple has done or whatever the case may be. But I mean, while it would be nice to have 120, I guess I forget a lot of times when I'm on my iPad Pro that it has 120, like I don't even see it anymore. So
You know what I think is for the iPhones? Since the iPhone 10, they've actually been registering touches at 120 hertz. They've actually like been able to register whatever your interaction with the device. So that's probably why it feels smooth despite the refresh rate not being 120 hertz. So it's actually kind of responding as it is a 120 hertz display, but what's playing back is still 60 hertz. So that's probably why the iPhones feel smoother, but they aren't technically. But yeah, I mean, I switch between like when I do like my iPad reviews, like I go to the Pro and it has 120 hertz, and then I go use like the regular iPad. And it's like if I go to the old one and I start like messing around with it, I'm like, ooh, it's so much smoother. But as you like use the device for an hour, it's something like I'm not like looking at it going, man, I wish this had fast refresh rate. I could be scrolling through my Twitter timeline and it would look so good. Like, it's not really something I think about.
Yeah, I like high refresh rate phones, which is why I like the OnePlus 7 Pro from last year. But if it's not combined with a snappy operating system, it kind of is irrelevant. I feel like the reason why the OnePlus 7 Pro impressed me so much was that Oxygen OS is so well optimized and so fast and snappy that just putting an extra high refresh rate over top of it makes it feel even snappier. And that's all fine and good unless you are sacrificing battery life, which right now, you know, the iPhone 11 Pro, man, iPhone 11 Pro Max that I have, that battery life is amazing. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah, I hope the phones this year have the same amount of battery life. I feel like they can't take a step backwards. Like, I feel like that's a weird marketing thing. You can't be like, our new phones, and they got like one less hour battery life than the old ones, but it's okay. Like, they're not going to do that. So I'm hoping it's the same on the Pro models. Now, here's the interesting thing. We know that the 12s are all going to have OLED displays this year. I think the ones on the Pros are going to be better quality, but it's going to be close enough to where I feel like most people won't even notice the difference. Like, are you still like thinking about going Pro, or are you thinking about going regular?
Regular schmegular. I don't see why I would go low. It's up in the air whether or not I even upgrade. I mean, if I do, it'll be specifically because of having the YouTube channel. I don't know that it'll have anything else to do with anything else. But with myself wanting the Fold so badly, it's going to take something really kind of amazing from Apple that I know for sure won't come on the 11 Pro to make me want to switch, because so many of the cool features and software go they're in on all phones. I mean, not all of them, obviously. Some of them are hardware-based, but for the most part, some of the really cool features are just an iOS thing, which work across all the phones that are supported by iOS.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think, like, what the rumored features are this year for the iPhone 12 that would really make you go out and buy one over an 11 Pro. Obviously, the cameras are going to be better, right? Like, that's a given every year. They might have that new augmented reality, you know, whatever that was in the iPad Pro for the Pro models. You know, on the iPad Pro, it's pretty much useless, right? Like, when's the last time you picked up your iPad Pro and used that sensor? Like, maybe you tried out once and then that's it. On the iPhone, it has more potential to be something that might actually be a useful feature. They might be able to use the LiDAR scanner for better, like, portrait mode photos, which I think the iPhone needs now. I was taking some portrait mode photos the other day, and I was like, you know, I feel like the quality here isn't as, like, good as some of, like, the other competitors now. I feel like the some of the edges and stuff, it doesn't do a good job of detecting that. So maybe they need a new technology there to really help them
so
out.
So that has happened multiple times when I've posted portrait images on Twitter and Instagram lately, is the edge detection is terrible on, like, my sunglasses or even my ear, which has been cut off on a couple occasions. If you don't look at that part of it, the rest of it looks great. But the edge detection, for whatever reason, is bad on some of those things.
I feel like it used to be better too, which is strange, but maybe my just standards got higher after using like other, like, I, you know, I've been using the Pixel 4a recently and the portrait mode on that is like really good. Like, it's like, there's no reason why the more expensive iPhone should be doing a worse job on it. So that depth sensing technology should be able to help them out, like separating backgrounds and stuff, which would be nice if they can master that. Cause I do like portrait mode stuff, but when you get a bad one, it's just like, man, this stinks. So hopefully they include that and they find some more uses for it besides better portrait mode. Like Samsung had like that video blur thing. I don't think people liked it like too much. Like, you could actually blur out background and video.
Maybe. Oh yeah, live video. And I from what I saw on Twitter, the version with the Note 20 is even better. Like, the quality is better.
So maybe they could do something like that with video, which would be great. You know, iPhone video quality is already so good. Like, if they can get some like cinematic blur, that might be a game changer. That'd be really
cool. I like the idea that was it Samsung that came out with, or I can't remember, maybe it was Google, where you can post blur. So that you don't have to take a photo, a portrait shot. You take a regular shot and then you can do changes and stuff after the fact, which you can do with software, but I like to be able to do it natively in the phone. I think it'd be easier than finding the right app and stuff, because some of those apps are really complicated. Just being able to blur the background on a non-portrait taken phone, and then you don't need all these extra camera stuff. I mean, I feel like at some point we may go back with less cameras on the back once the, you know, the cameras are a little bit more capable. Like, you won't need as many. We have a lot because we're trying to accomplish a lot of different things: zoom out, zoom in, wide. I think we just need wide with a really high megapixel where you can zoom in on it, and then you're good. I mean, I don't know. I feel like that's where technology will take us, because they'll use AI and stuff to kind of reconstruct things based on the high megapixel count. You won't need 3 and 4 lenses. You'll need one really good one, and the rest will be AI.
Travis just blew my mind with that. I mean, you're right. Yeah, I feel like once AI is good enough, you just put like the widest angle lens you can on there and then just let the computer take care of everything else.
Because it's the one thing that you can't fake is the wide angle. Like, you can't fake stuff you can't see, but everything else is in the image. So if you get enough high enough megapixels, I mean, to a certain degree, I mean, do you need 50, 60 times zoom? Probably not. But you can get a good 3 to 5 with some really cool computer trickery if you have the right megapixels. I mean, why not?
Agreed.
There you go. All right, Samsung, cut me the check for that. Apple, cut me the check. You're welcome.
Check's in the mail. But other than that, like, is there going to be like any stellar feature that really like has you go and I want to switch? I know for most people, like I said, it's going to be the new design, right? That's enough for most people. I know we're more practical than that, right? It's like, it's nice, but it's like, it's gotta be like substantial. Obviously I have to get it. I have to cover it for my channel. You might end up getting one too. I am actually really interested in that smaller size phone. Like, I really do want to see what that is, because all these smartphones are getting so big. And I know you're probably in the big smartphone camp, but there is something about like, there's a lot of people who just kind of want like a smaller phone, and there really isn't that market there for like modern phones. So it'll be nice to see what that looks like and how that actually comes into formation. I also, I'm really interested to see how they price these phones. I know Prosser was very confident in saying 650 very early on. I don't know if that's still the case, though, with that BOE displays not really making them anymore. Like, I'm sure that display company was trying to make them for, like, really cheap. And, yeah, you know, if they released a 650 iPhone, I think no matter what it is, it's just, like, it would be, like, selling like crazy.
It would be amazing. And the thing is, like, I mentioned all the things you just talked about in the video for Tuesday. I talked about the price and I talked about the size. People really liking the 5.4, really excited about that. And the pricing just seems too good to be true. Is it possible? Sure. Apple can if they want to, they could go real low. They did it this year, 400, but they took some compromises on old designs. But, I mean, they could legitimately take less of a profit on a phone if they really wanted to dominate and get a lot more market share. They could do that as a risk. But will they do that? I don't know. I'm really curious as to what the final everything is going to be. 650 would be crazy. Because if you think about it, the 699 for the iPhone 11?
Yeah.
Helped it become the number one selling phone. I mean, what was it, 750 for the iPhone XR, which was the number one selling phone. If you keep going down, it only makes sense that you're going to continue to sell a bunch of them. So we'll see. I mean, if they can pull that off, I think it would. I would be surprised to see 649. $699, sure. 649 would be incredible. Like, I don't even feel like they need to go to 650. I feel like there's a bunch of people in a meeting going, okay, how low do we need to go to be really competitive? Well, obviously the 400. And if the SE Plus comes out, 500, right? You want the 400, 500. It would be nice to get to 600, but or even 650, but I feel like they can just go, let's leave that for the previous generation, whatever that phone is, but in this case would be the iPhone 11 maybe, or maybe you get rid of the iPhone 11 because it's too close to the 12. They seem to do that, by the way. Whenever there's a phone that's like too similar, or even any device, they're quickly, for like the Apple Watch 4, I think it's like it never happened. It's just too close to the Apple Watch Series 5. So it'll be interesting to see if they're able to hit 650, but I don't feel that there should be the pressure for them to do so. They did so well at 699. If they could pull that off again, that would still be praised. If they can do 650, yeah. Samsung needs to readjust everything for 2020. Well, they already need to readjust everything for 2020. Yeah.
I'd love to see John maybe do an update on that after because he had the BOE story, which was 100% true, by the way. Like, at the time he reported it, they were fully planning on going with BOE, but when they actually saw like the early manufacturing parts, they're just like, this isn't good enough. So whatever they first delivered them, they didn't deliver on it. So I think the story now is they're going to use a mixture of LG and Samsung. Obviously, Samsung, it's a very high-quality panel. They're going to be paying top dollar for it. I imagine those are going to the Pro models. The LG displays are a little bit worse, right? Like, people know that. LG OLED is, for the smartphones, aren't as good. I imagine those are destined for the cheaper phones. But LG, even though their panels might be worse, I imagine LG charges a lot more than BOE for a display, right? Like, LG is a legit company. Let's put it that way. So I would say, like, based on that, like I said this in my video too, I'm not sure about the pricing. I'm not reporting on leaks. Like, I'm not getting the information. I don't have any outside sources. I would say, based on my info, putting all that info into my head, I would say that the price of the phone has to go up to $699 for the regular 5.4 inch, factoring in the LG panels, it has to be more money. They might have been counting on
5G. 5G, by the way, don't forget, that's 5G. Not a cheap thing. Yeah,
but I think they're getting a sweetheart deal on that 5G because Qualcomm wants them to get that 5G phone out there for the iPhone, and so do all the carriers. Like, 5G has been out for like past year or two on like Android phones. Is not going to have the same penetration as when Verizon and AT&T can be like, hey, we got an iPhone and it has 5G. Boom.
Yeah.
Like, people are going to be like, oh, it's faster on 5G. Ooh, I'm going to need to get one. So that's what they're waiting for. They could say all they want. Like, oh, we got the Samsung 20 on 5G. People are just like, huh? like when they got the iPhone, because that's the top selling phone in the US. Like, if people really want to build out their, like, if people really want to take these 5G networks seriously, that's going to be the major push going forward for 5G, and it's going to allow the networks to invest even more into their infrastructure, get it ramped up even faster, and Qualcomm's going to be able to push in more. So, but yeah, 5G chips, you know, OLED screens. I'm thinking it's $699. I'm going to say it's $699. That's my prediction. $699 starting, and then do $699, $799, $1,000, $1,099. That sounds like a pretty good price lineup.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's all right. Okay, yeah. What else?
Oh my God. Whoa. Stop the clock. Stop the clock. A legend has joined the Gadget Cast. I don't know if you've ever been. I don't think so. We got a legend in the Gadget Cast chat. Fish B has joined us. Fish B, hope you're doing well. Fish B is here. Travis,
Fish
we did
B.
It. We did it, Travis.
We did it. We've succeeded. All right, Gadget Cast is over now. Thank you, everybody, for joining us.
Yeah, you know,
we are done.
We just wanted Fish B here from the start.
That's all we wanted. We're done now.
Does Fish B know how we know about Fish B? Does he know the Fish B story?
I doubt it.
Mm.
Well, we told the story when we first talked about him. So if he knows anything about that, then he would know that, I guess.
Fish B, you had when Travis and I were doing Amazon streams, you had a very dedicated fan. And we said, who's your favorite? We know, we're talking to this guy. And we said, who's your favorite YouTuber? And he said, Fish B. And so we looked up Fish B and we're like, oh, Fish B. So that's how we discovered you. Like, that's how I found out about Fish B. So I'm excited. I love Fish B.
Fish B. All right.
But I thought that was really cool that that was his favorite YouTuber. Cause like, you know what I mean?
Dope.
Like if someone said like, they're my favorite, like someone says, you're my favorite YouTuber, Greg, it's still like weird to me. I'm like, dude, there's like a million other channels that have like 50,000 times more subscribers than me and are better than me. So you tell me you're my favorite. It kind of means something to me. I'm like, that's crazy. So like Fish B, you know, that's good, man.
Nice done. Nicely done.
Nicely done.
What else do we have before we settle down for the evening into our nice, lovely.
Let's talk about this Apple One stuff real quick.
Explain this because I only kind of know about this. Explain what this is.
We all know that Apple is pushing farther into services, right? We've been talking about this for a couple of years now. They're getting, you know, as hardware sales start to slow down, what's the best way to make money and keep growing? Well, you got all these customers who are using iPhones, iPads, Macs, whatever. You can sell them software, like you can sell them services. And we know that Apple now has, you know, Apple Music, Apple News, Apple TV Plus, right? iCloud storage, Apple Arcade. So they got quite a buildup of services to the point where this recent quarter, the services revenue that Apple makes is 22% of their business. That's more than iPad. That's more than Mac. That's more than their wearables division with AirPods and Apple Watch. So it's a big, it's only, you know, the only thing that beats it right now is iPhone, obviously. Mm-hmm. So this Apple One is supposed to be some sort of bundle of their services together. Now, Mark Gurman had the story on Bloomberg talking about it. And from what he leaked, it didn't sound that impressive to me, whatever bundle they're working on. Obviously, any sort of bundle, if you're paying for all the services, is going to work out. You're going to save a little bit of money and all that stuff. But he was talking like, and I think this is the wrong route for Apple to take. It's called Apple One, by the way, which I think should mean one subscription, right? You get Apple One, it's like the Amazon Prime of Apple. You got everything, you don't need to worry about it. Maybe Apple even throws in some extra goodies there. It's like, you know, Prime is great because Amazon just keeps adding stuff to it and you feel like you're getting such a great deal and you don't use half the stuff they offer. But when you do need to go use it, you're like, ooh, I got some Amazon tracks that Prime gives for free. So Apple, according to the story, they're looking at doing multiple tiers of their service, which I think is the wrong move. So they're looking at maybe bundling Apple Music with Apple TV and maybe you save like $2 doing that. They're looking at bundling, you know, maybe you get Apple Arcade, Apple TV, Apple Music. Maybe you save $3 doing that. And then Mark Gurman at the end of the story said, like, at max, you'll save $5 a month, which I feel like, again, not like the best discount. It kind of sounds Apple-like, right? Like, you get all their services, you save $5. I don't know. If it was, like, $10, that would actually be, like, that'd be great. Like, I think a lot of people would sign up for it immediately. Like, you get, like, one whole Apple Music subscription free and you get everything else with it. You know, if it's like $30 a month, you get all those services. I think that might be a good deal. My main issue, though, is like, I don't think they should be doing like, here's tier one, here's tier two, here's tier three. Just do all of it. Just do all of it. Price it competitively to the point where you're still making a lot of money. And man, I think a lot of people would sign up for that. Maybe even and Mark Gurman, I think this is the interesting stuff. They're not going to do it this year, but he was talking about they might even do like a hardware bundle with it. Like you buy your iPhone and that's bundled into it. You buy an Apple TV, that's is all bundled together, so it's just a monthly fee. And I think that's a real winner.
Yeah, it's an interesting idea. I guess I we'll wait and see. I don't know. I'm kind of curious as to if this becomes anything more than just another streaming option, of which there's too many. Cutting the cord sounded really awesome at one point, and now it just kind of sounds more confusing than when you couldn't cut the cord. Like, it's what? I don't understand. Like, it's more expensive now to get everything streaming than it is if you just had cable or satellite. So unless this becomes some type of really great deal, like right now, a really great deal that I still get is Hulu, ESPN Plus, and Disney Plus all in one thing. It's stupid cheap. It's like $15 or $16 to get all three of those. It's crazy. So I would love to see something that would be so compelling. Like you said, like, you know, we got Apple TV Plus for a year for buying our iPhones, and I might have to renew it once those shows that I love come back. If they could do something like that. But now they're at the problem with this one versus Apple TV Plus is they don't really own any of it. They're just trying to negotiate deals with those companies that are going to want a set fee. So it's going to be hard, if not impossible, to discount anything. Whereas they can discount their own thing as much as they want. So I don't know that it's ever going to get better than it is. But if anyone can do it, Apple would be the company to be able to push it down. Them or Amazon, and Amazon has only barely been able to do anything. So I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know if it's... there was a rumor like this too, and I think Apple is doing other bundles now with Apple TV too with their service, like Stars or whatever. I think this one would just be focused on taking like Apple Music, Apple TV, like their services, and combining it into one. So they could get the price down because they would control at least all their services. But again, and I see Viper saying, "What if you don't want all of it?" Like I feel like you make the deal so compelling that it's just like, well, even if I don't use this other two things, is so cheap, I might as well just get it. Like, that's mm-hmm. what's great about Prime. It's like, you pay like $120 a year, and it's like, there's so much stuff with Prime I don't use, but I have it. Like, I have unlimited photo storage if I want it. Like, I never use it. But it's one of those things that it just delivers value. I don't watch that much Prime Video, but the occasions I do, and I find something good on it, I'm like, I'm glad I have Prime Video. So I think Apple needs to do something like that too. Maybe someone doesn't want Apple TV Plus, but there's like that one time out of the year where they go to check it and they find like a great TV show or movie and they're like, man, I'm so glad that you want. Here's what Apple needs to do. And who knows if they'll listen to me. Here's Apple's greatest strength, their ecosystem, right? Everyone always says it, the Apple ecosystem. Apple could charge a lot of money for this service and, you know, make money that way. The real power play and the real thing, and this is why Prime works so well, charge way less than people are expecting, give you Apple Music, iCloud storage, give you everything the people like complain about with like the pricing, make it a really compelling offer. People are going to keep buying iPhones. People are going to stay even more into your ecosystem because where's the only place they can get this amazing bundle? On an iPhone. That's their greatest strength right now. And if they can play into that, if they can offer you an amazing deal and keep you a subscriber forever, that's it. That's Amazon, right? You have, like Travis tells me all the time, they lose money on shipping you those boxes with Prime. Like, shipping is a lot. If you ever ship something yourself, it's a lot of money. But Amazon knows when you go to shop online, where's the first place you're looking? It's the place where you're paying $100 a month, $100 a year, and they got it. They got your orders set. They got it all ready to go. So I think Apple needs to try to do something similar there. And I think it would be an amazing service. Will they do it? Who knows? But that's my advice.
That is Greg's advice. I agree with him 100%. That's one of the few times you'll ever hear me say that.
Whoa. Whoa.
I know, right? Anything else we need to go over before we say adieu?
We said it all.
We said it a couple times. Someone in the chat earlier said that I need to make an outro song. I actually have made like 10 songs. I have a SoundCloud if you're interested. SoundCloud.com something. It's just look up Travis MCP on SoundCloud. You can hear some of the stuff I've made. Maybe I do an outro for this show. I don't know.
Maybe we'll see. You do. You know, I do want to mention one thing actually before we head out. Is it next week where you're not going to be able to do Sunday?
Correct. Well, that's in the air at the moment, but that potentially not. I'll know tomorrow for sure.
So if that happens, for the people watching the live stream, we might do that on Saturday.
No, I won't be here Saturday. If I end up not being around, I would have to do it by like Wednesday. We have to do another Wednesday.
You heard it here first. It might be a Wednesday, but if you're an audio listener, it'll still be in your podcast feed.
Correct.
At the correct time. I also want to say, we haven't plugged this in a long time, so I think it's okay if we plug it now. We would like some more ratings on the Apple Podcast app. It's been a while since we got like a nice rating. Write a review. You know, we just got one in June 28th is our last time. Because we haven't been plugging it. We haven't been plugging it that much.
And that's why.
But we got one from Marshmallow who said the camaraderie between Garg and Travis is great. Love these two. Gotta say, though, pre-record these from YouTube live streams, so don't complain about them plugging it. I don't hear sponsorship on these, so lay off. Great podcast. See, so Marshmallow's right. We don't have sponsors. We only plug ourselves.
Hey, settle down over there. What are you talking about? I don't do none of that. I don't know what you're up to on the weekend, but... Not me. Go ahead.
So, how many podcasts you listen to? They got like 4 ad breaks. You didn't hear any ad breaks this time, okay?
That's right.
We are fan-funded operation. But anyway, Marshmallow's right. You know, if we promote ourselves, Travis, there's nothing wrong with that. So go ahead. If you're a new listener and you haven't rated the show already, by the way, we know how many audio listeners we have. There's way more than 168 of you. So even if you watch the YouTube live stream or whatever, even if you're mainly on YouTube, if you have an iPhone or an iPad, if you have access to the Apple Podcast app, just go leave us a review there. Because honestly, we do have a lot of listeners for the audio show still. Like, it's still the main platform where people digest the show. Mm-hmm. And we want to keep growing it. And as a lot of you know, Apple Podcasts is the main podcast player. Like, I know maybe you're listening on another service like Spotify or something like that. We don't mean to be like singling out Apple Podcasts, but honestly, it's just the reality. It's like the YouTube of podcasting. Like, if you're not there, you're nowhere. So it's just the reality of the situation. But we do appreciate all the audio listeners. Hey, if you're a Spotify user and you can rate us there too, I guess do it. I don't know if they do it there. But if you're a Spotify user and you're on iPhone, I say just, you know, go on the Apple Podcast app and, you know, drop that 5-star. All right.
Cool.
Plug
all right, everyone. Well, listen, we appreciate you joining us. And of course, we'll see you next time. He's Greg. I'm Travis. This has been Gadgetcast.
3, 2, 1, 0.
Space travel.